Hello and welcome to the Greg Fearon podcast, episode 89. And today we're doing a bit of a Q&A. I've got some questions from some people who messaged me over the last week or so. And I thought, do you know what? Let's jump on, make it a Q&A, make it short, sharp, so you can get the most value from this. So if you're listening to this on Apple, you know, drop a review, drop some stars so that more people can hear about this. And then I'm going to dive into the questions, and I've got a rant actually, and I'm going to start with my rant first. Okay. So this week, the big thing in the media has been, you know, it's the Euros. So the football's going on for my American listeners. It's a soccer. And so you've got football or soccer, as you call it, going on in the world. And Cristiano Ronaldo, you know, sat down for his press conference and was like, drink water, get rid of it. He got rid of the Coke bottles that were there, and everyone went mad for it. And it's really interesting, the power of celebrity, okay? Because Ronaldo's an amazing person, amazing athlete, achieved so much in his life. Credit and hats off to him. And it's amazing that that could have such an impact on the world, and so many people are sharing it, agreeing with it, etc. But the one thing you got to remember is that people who are successful generally never build their castle on one income stream, right? So once upon a time, Ronaldo was actually sponsored by Coke, right? So you got to remember that. Number two, he's also sponsored by an MLM company who has been responsible for liver problems, people's hair falling out because the diet is so calorie restricted. And I really just want to just get you to open your eyes a little bit sometimes to what really goes on, because the thing with social media is that it shows just one portion of someone's 24-hour life, right? And we're all going, yay, you know, Ronaldo's awesome, drink water, get rid of Coke. But what you got to remember is that he's also got endorsements with Something Life. I won't say it because I might get a lawsuit or something, probably, I don't know. And Kentucky Fried Chicken, none of which are synonymous with your health and wellness goals, right? So just before you dive into the celebrity of everything, just be really, really careful about the whole picture, okay? And it's good that we should celebrate acts of, you know, individual acts, but just remember to look at the whole picture before you, you know, dive in and say, oh, it's all amazing, it's all amazing, all right? And without further ado, I'm going to jump into the questions. The last one in particular is one that I think a lot of ladies will really want to hear. So I've got three questions I'm going to answer today. You know, I'm going to try and make it short, sharp. I'm going to maybe just have some solo episodes for a while. Although I've got a really good guest where we've already done a podcast, but I'm going to jump in some more solo ones. So you just got Greg flying solo and having fun with this shizzle. All right. So ladies, listen up. So the first question was from Sarah, and Sarah is asking, where would you start if you're someone who's trying to lose weight? Now, there's no one simple answer. Like, anyone who gives you one simple answer is probably not looking at the whole picture, right? So I can only talk about what I do with my clients and my kind of methodology. So I have the 3M mechanism, the 3M blueprint, and that's, you know, mindset or mind, movement, which is your training and exercise, and metabolism, which is, you know, your nutrition, but also how the body works and how you get it to function optimally, right? So I look at it through that lens, and ultimately, anyone that comes to work with me will probably have one or two of those M's. You know, they've tried them a few times, they've tried a few diets, they've tried exercise programs, and they haven't quite worked. So if they land on my doorstep, I know that it's probably a lady who's tried every new diet going. They've tried every supplement and pill, and it just never seems to work the way they want it to work. So I know that they've tried, you know, at least one of the 3 M's, right? So I really understand that someone has tried so many things and they've really struggled to get the 3Ms in place. But I know that one or two of them haven't, you know, quite worked. Okay, so here's my approach. My approach, first of all, is understanding the motivation for that person to change. Then I need to assess the lifestyle, right? Because generally, the ladies that come and work with me are professional women who are working 9 to 5, well, actually probably working more like a 9 to 7 because they're so busy in their profession. Things are busy. They've got a home life, a social life. So I need to look at all of that. I need to look at their current health, etc. But there's so many ways that you could approach this. But I'm going to just give a very short answer. My advice to anyone who wants to lose weight, tone up, get in shape, is start with one thing, okay? Because a lot of people try and jump in at the deep end and it's all or nothing. And that all or nothing mindset is what causes you to crash and burn. We've all done it. We've all jumped in and, right, I'm going to train 5 times a week. I'm going to, you know, do my smoothies. I'm going to go for my daily walk. And it just becomes too much. And the body and the mind will resist that change if you try and do it all at once. So my advice to anybody is, number one, just start with one thing. Okay. Now, if I look at my clients and the ladies that have worked with me, and it doesn't matter where, what kind of walk of life they've come to me from, but there's probably one area that I would say is a common theme throughout all of my clients, and is number one, just don't eat enough protein. Very, very simply, the diet is normally fairly carb heavy. And when I mean carbs, I mean, you know, starchy carbs, especially talking about rice, potato, pasta, bread, make up a large proportion of that diet. And you probably want more watery carbs in there. So vegetables, especially some fruit as well. But the biggest thing is I see is a lot of ladies are struggling to hit their protein target or to just to get an adequate amount of protein into the diet. So that's where I would start. And examples of protein just for you to listen in are, you know, if you are an omnivore, i.e. you eat everything, then we're looking at, you know, your lean meat, so turkey breast, chicken breast, lean cuts of beef, leaner cuts of pork, lamb, etc. Obviously, then there's fish, so salmon, tuna, sardines, you get the picture. If you're vegetarian, I'd be looking at corn, lentils, maybe using a few more dairy products to get extra carbs in as well. So that's why we'd be doing lentils, peas and beans are also great for vegetarian and vegans. But if there was one area that I would say for most ladies that come to work with me, it's going to be protein. It's going to be the biggest one. All right. So I hope that knocks that one out apart for you, Sarah. Next one was Andrea. Andrew was asking, does breakfast make a big difference to your weight loss? And it's a really interesting area of study. So there's been lots of studies and some science and what I call conjecture. Like, it seemed promising, but we kind of extrapolated and make it bigger, right? So obviously, a lot of people are fasting and intermittent fasting. Back in the school days, I used to call it skipping breakfast. So my mum used to make sure that I had breakfast every morning because she wanted me to not get windy or some other, you know, old wife's tale. Sorry, mum, love ya. But we used to rush out the door because we just had other things to do. And so a lot of the ladies I work with have got that culture in their mind of they get up later, rush, might have to sort the kids out, etc. But then you won't make time for breakfast. Does it make a difference to whether you lose weight or not? Ultimately, the answer is no. Okay, so here's something, and there's a few studies that are starting to show this, that people that skip breakfast tend to snack more and eat less nutritious foods later on in the day. So maybe, and I'm not sure of the science at the minute, but maybe there is a correlation between how the body starts the day and how it behaves later on, and what messages it goes to the brain, which tends to mean that people snack more, which obviously will then impact weight loss further down the line. But ultimately, you need what we call a caloric deficit. You need more calories going out than coming in. Now, intermittent fasting is just a strategy to do that. So for most people, what you'd have is a 12-8 kind of thing, or sorry, 16-8 type kind of thing, where for 16 hours of any time period, you don't eat, and then you condense all your eating into an 8-hour window. I've often found, though, that ladies don't seem to work with it just as well as they think they will. And a lot of the time I've had clients come to me who are doing intermittent fasting. We've then got them to start eating breakfast and the weight starts to come off because it just adjusts. They've got a rhythm through the day. They feel satiated. They don't tend to snack as much. But you just got to choose what works for you. All right. So I'm not saying that one is better than the other. What I am saying is that the general proportion of people who come and work with me seem to do better when they have three meals a day and maybe the odd snack, rather than skipping breakfast and maybe having two meals. So ultimately, breakfast can have a massive impact. And there's been studies to show that if someone starts the day with a protein and fat rich breakfast, i.e. more fats and protein than carbs, so basically not toast or cornflakes and cereal, you know, that kind of thing, that people who have a higher protein start to the day generally eat lower calories for the rest of the day. So that in terms of satiety, or basically satisfaction, you're staying fuller for longer. So it seems like eating what you eat at breakfast is actually probably more important than the time you have your breaking the fast, okay? Because that's all it is, you know. Whether you break your fast at, I don't know, 8 o'clock in the evening, that's just when you break your fast, right? I don't like to subscribe to all these fancy terms because it just makes people confused and gives people a whole ideology about nutrition and stuff. So for me, I like three meals a day. I used to be a breakfast skipper. I used to skip breakfast all the time, but now I found that if I have breakfast and then I train or work out, I actually feel better. Whereas at one point I used to be able to train quite well on an empty stomach, but now I find that I do better if I'm in a fed state. And the science also shows that whether you exercise in a fasted state versus if you eat if you train and then eat, then the difference in weight loss is nothing. Okay, so hope that knocks that one out of the park. All right, the big one that all the ladies probably signed up to listen to on this episode: what's the best exercise to turn up the arms? And that was by a lady called Shilpa. Hey Shilpa, hope you're listening back to this. So a common area for a lot of ladies is you seem to accumulate fat around the back of the arms, where what we call the tricep muscle is. I'm trying to show you the tricep, right? But I just realized that this is an audio, not a visual. So on the triceps is where you get it. So the back of the arms, fat tends to accumulate. And what happens is, you know, we get to the state where we call them bingo wings, okay? And ladies, will often feel very conscious about them because, especially at this time of year, summer now, where it's when it's warmer, you want to wear strappy tops, you want to, you know, get the arms out a little bit. You'll find that you know, people cover up their arms because they don't want to show them off, right? So and people ask me often, like, Greg, how do you get the ladies that you train with to get those slimmer but toned? And I'm going to talk about toned in another episode because I think it's a whole bit of a mess, this whole tone thing, but we'll clear that up for another time. But how do you get those slimmer toned arms? Well, ultimately, it comes down to, number one, training effectively for the arms. So none of my clients, very rarely do they do isolated arm exercises, all right? So, and what I mean by that is they're not spending time doing things like bicep curls or tricep work, etc. What tends to work very well is two things: hitting your diet goals, i.e. your calories, on a consistent basis, and using what we call compound exercises. Okay, so compound exercises are are the basically, you know, exercises that involve more than one muscle group. So for example, a press up, which is going to hit the chest muscles, but also works your stomach in terms of your core, and also works the back of the arms through that pushing motion, right? So I found when you program those, it tends to be much more effective than just doing isolated exercises. So on a very simple level, for Shilpa's question, I don't have a best exercise. I have a best group of tools that helps ladies I work with get into shape and tone up the arms, etc. And I think we need to remove ourselves a little bit from this mindset of I need this one exercise to do this muscle group. It's great, you can always work a muscle, but you can't necessarily spot reduced fat. And I'm going to give you an analogy that I give my clients. When you have a bath and you let the plug out and the water starts to go all the way down and starts to flow out, you don't see where the water comes from. Okay, the water just drains. You don't know if it's coming from the front, the back, the sides, the middle. And that's how losing fat is like. Losing fat is a lot like that bath situation, where if you pull the plug out, which is making sure you get your sleep on track, your nutrition on track, your daily movement on track, then what you'll find is the fat will just come off. The water will just come through the drain. But you have to keep the plug plugged out for long enough for that to happen. And for some of my clients, they lose fat on their stomachs first, some on back of the arms, some on the legs. It's different for different people. But it's all about time and perseverance and getting that consistency. All right. So Shilpa, no one exercise, but I would look to include lots of compound exercises such as press ups, overhead pressing with dumbbells, pulling exercises. So, you know, lat pull down, barbell rows, dumbbell rows, push ups. So there's quite a few. Lying pullovers are also an awesome one. So there's a whole ton of exercises you can do, but I really want you to understand that there's no one exercise for losing body fat. All right. So there endeth episode 89 of the Greg Fearon podcast. If you go back one episode, you'll hear an awesome live that I use as a podcast of myself and Leanne Doherty talking about, you know, how to tone up and get that lean, sexy muscle. That's an awesome episode. So listen back to that. If you want to follow me more, you're hearing my podcast for the first time, then I'm going to put links in the show notes and you can come say hi. But share this episode with friends and family if you think it's going to help you. And I will be doing another Q&A type Ask Greg Anything on my Instagram channels very, very shortly. So keep an eye out for that. I'm Greg _ Fearon. That's F for Freddy, E-A-R-O-N. And there, end of episode 9. Hit the review button and I will talk to you all soon. Bye.